This final night of revival, I want to preach to you a message that I have simply titled, I'm Going Through.
Yeah.
I'm going,
yes,
through.
Going through.
Amen. We're going to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, beginning in verse 17. Thank you once again, Pastor, for asking us to be here. We do love coming to Shiloh's Grace.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I give you honor tonight in this house, and I give honor to my husband.
Yes.
In this
pulpit.
Thank
you, Jesus.
Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 17. The Bible says, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asked thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies,
yes,
and the statutes and,
yes,
the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. I want you to notice verse 23. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Focusing there on verse 23 one more time. And he hath brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. God will bring you out from your Egypt and take you in to the promises, not only of heaven, but the promises of his word, the promises that he makes to you throughout your walk with him. But between those two places, you've got to do something called going through. And I want to preach to you tonight, I'm going through, with the help of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you for your spirit. And I ask you, Lord, to help my lack, God, make up everything that I am lacking tonight. Lord, even in my own body, I thank you for the strength of the Holy Ghost that causes us to be able to preach this word to this people. God, to give them strength to continue on. In this hour that we live in, God, there must be a strong Pentecostal voice in Siloam Springs. And I'm asking you, God, to let Trinity Pentecostal Church of God be that voice in this area. Lord, let the light shine so brightly from this place that people are drawn to it. And I ask you, Lord, that you help them, no matter what they face, God, to just simply say, I'm going through it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We live in a critical hour. The Bible speaks of the days that we are currently living in. When I was a little girl, you read about things in the Bible, the days that were coming. I never really expected to be living in those days and seeing those things myself.
Yes.
And yet we are living in an hour, and the Bible describes what you are seeing. It describes a great falling away. I don't think we have seen that to the fullest extent yet, but we are beginning to see it. And the Bible describes something that is called a strong delusion. And we are seeing that very rampant in the church world today. We as Christians have been hyped up. We've been excited. We've been motivated. We've been encouraged. We've been blessed by the Spirit of God. We've had it poured on us. We've had it poured into us. But I came with a very sincere word for you tonight. And Maren, it was perfect to sing that song tonight. Because if I can invest anything into you as the people of God, it is for you to see the need for for something called determination.
Amen.
Determination cannot be bought and it cannot be sold. It cannot be handed over to you or even prayed on you. It has to be something that you choose to do on your own.
Yes.
Determination has a lot to do with a person's will. That is why it cannot be handed over to you like a sack of candy. It quite simply has to be lived in order to be had.
Yes.
Merriam-Webster says that the definition of the word determination is to reach a decision about something,
yes,
to decide upon, to have one's mind made up, to resolve, to become unwavering about one's beliefs, one's attitudes,
yes,
and one's actions.
Yes.
Generally, our favorite Bible stories usually involve God's immediate and overwhelming power rescues. We love to hear the stories where He wows us and He comforts us by showing His mastery over the universe when He stops a storm with a single word, or when He preserved the three Hebrew children in the middle of a fiery furnace, or by consuming Elijah's sacrifice on Mount Carmel with a fireball straight from heaven. We love to see the exploits of God.
Yes.
It gives us comfort. It gives us assurance in knowing that God is there, that He really does see and know where we are and what we have to deal with on a daily basis. We love it when God, oh, come on now.
Yes.
We love it when God makes the lion's mouth shut when we
Amen.
Thought that
yes.
we were going to be devoured. We love it when God miraculously takes down the massive giant that is in our way.
Amen.
We love it when God opens up our eyes to supernaturally see around us that the mountains are full of angels and there's more with us than there are with our enemies.
Yes, yes.
And sometimes God prefers to act all at once. But sometimes His miracles and His interventions in human history are slow. And they are so slow, in fact, that we have a hard time even noticing that they are really happening. And that is where determination must be lived. The song that we sing about Waymaker, and we sing that line that says, even when I don't see it, He's working. Even when I don't feel it, He's working. You know what that is? That is living out a determined frame of mind.
Amen.
When God takes His time answering your prayer, it is not because He is punishing you or does not care about your struggle. There are reasons for God's timetable. It is not because God has suddenly gone deaf and your prayers are falling, reaching grass heavens. One of the characteristics that is fairly common among humans is how quickly that we notice pain and we notice trouble and problems and we grumble about them, and how slowly we tend to notice blessings and help and opportunities for praising God. Many times we are the exact same as the Israelites during their wilderness march. They complained constantly.
Yeah, they did.
And it wasn't as if their hardships were imaginary. They weren't. They had a real trouble and real hard places to go through. Their journey was hard on everybody. Camping for decades with millions of other people around me does not sound like fun to me. I probably would have failed some of God's tests, like panicking when there was no water or complaining when I got tired of eating manna. In fact, I can examine my own self in situations that I have had to walk through, and I am sure without a doubt that I would have failed some of those tests that the Israelites walked in through themselves. Don't be too sanctified on me tonight, because some of you didn't handle the thing that you went through today. Some of you didn't handle that slow driver that got in front of you today very nicely. Some of you didn't deal with the person on either side of you very nicely today. So don't get too sanctified when you start looking at the Israelites and start clicking your tongue and saying, isn't it a shame that they acted the way that they did? Because you have four fingers turning back around and pointing at you. And when you measure yourself up against the Word of God, you will find that we are exactly like the Israelites marching through the wilderness.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
In every circumstance that we find ourselves in, it is key to know in the fiber of your being three things. Three very basic things. And if you can remember these three things, it's not going to be a revelation to you tonight. But if you can remember these things, they will cause you to be able to walk through whatever it is that you find yourself going through. Number one, if you can just remember who God is.
Yes.
Number two, if you can just remember what God has already done in your life. And number three, if you can remember what God has said that He will do. Just remember who God is, what God has already done, and what God will do. Very often we forget all three of these things, both in good times and in bad times. God is God. He was, He is, and He shall be. The Bible says that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we get wrapped up and tripped up many times in the circumstances of today alone. But God, who was and is and will be, sees that whole thing that's going on in your life all the way from the beginning. The next place that God is taking you to. Do you believe that God is taking you somewhere?
Yes, I do.
The next place that God is taking you to demands that you know who you are. And character, character that has not been tested is not character at all. Your character is not determined by what you say or even what other people say about you. It has to be confirmed and sealed in your own heart. And there is no better place for that to happen than the wilderness places that you have to go through. When you've got to go through that thing that you never had to go through before. When you've got to go through that thing that makes you pray harder than you ever prayed before. When you've got to go through that thing that makes you crawl out of bed and get on your face before God and say, if you don't come through, I'm not going to make it. It's that thing that causes you to seek after God.
Yeah.
Your character is identified by the things that you go through. God has been proving the identities of His people in wilderness places for ages. He has challenged those who claimed to love Him, that claimed to trust Him, and He has proven whether or not their claims were true or they were false. He took His own people, Israel, through the wilderness in what should have been an 11-day journey. And those 11 days turned into 40 years in the wilderness.
Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am.
Right.
Come on.
And Moses explains God's motive this way. He said He is leading you in the wilderness to humble you, to prove you, to know what is in your heart, and to see if you'll keep His commandments or not.
Yeah.
God brought the Israelites out of Egypt through the wilderness and into the promised land.
Right.
And that is the same pattern that He uses in our lives today. When you look closely at those Israelites, you see that they came out of Egypt. They witnessed God's incredible power displays with those 10 plagues. Sister Kelly, they saw God, the deliverance from their enemy as they came out of Egypt, the incredible parting of the Red Sea, where they witnessed their own enemies drowning in the water behind them. They came out, God showed up, and He brought them out, and everybody could shout and testify that they came out of their bondage. Has God brought you out of anything? Are you free from your sin today? Was it a miraculous thing when God brought you out? Did you feel the witness of Jesus exploding on the inside of you when God brought you out? How many times has God brought you out of something? It's always exciting when you have been in a hard place, the hardest place of your life, and God brings you out of that place. The freedom that you feel when God brings you out causes
yes, yes.
Preach. Is there anybody that can say with me that God brought you out of places that you felt like you were trapped in? Of course, I grew up in church, but I was still trapped in sin. I couldn't find my way out of that on my own. And somebody told me about what Jesus did, that there was one who could deliver me from my sin. And you know what he did when I called on him? He brought me out. I've got a reason. I've got a right to shout about what God has brought me out of. But he does not just bring me out to leave us. The Bible says that he brought them out to bring them in to his exceeding great and precious promises. Hey, has God brought you out? Yes. Has God given you a promise about something? Yes. And I know for many of you, there are specific promises that you are laying hold of. You are believing God for a promise that he has given to you. And as I prepared this message, the Holy Ghost said, you remind people that I am faithful to my promises.
Yes, amen. I believe it.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Go ahead and give God a hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is faithful.
He is faithful.
It is in between those two places of God's miraculous deliverance and seeing his promises fulfilled. You hear me tonight? It is in between those two places where you are over here shouting the glorious victory because God brought you out and standing there with expectation, looking for what God is going to do. In between those places is where you have to make sure that you do not get stuck. It's called going through. And while you are going through it, you've got to remind yourself of who God is, what God has done, and what God will do. Sometimes you imagine that things are going to go a certain way in your life. And then when it doesn't go the way that you imagined, if you are a weak person, you will quit because it's not going the way that you imagined it. Your spiritual life and your walk with God will bring you to a place called a breaking point.
Amen. Yes, yes.
A quitting point. A perseverance spot. Mm-hmm. A point where you just simply have to choose if you're going to keep going or if you're going to quit.
Yeah.
And if you're not at that point in your walk with God tonight, you just hold on. Because there's going to be something that you are going to have to walk through. And you're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to keep believing God in the middle of this? Or am I going to quit? Is my face going to be found seeking God at that altar? Or am I going to quit? Am I going to hide from the people of God that love me the most? Or am I going to quit? You will have to make a choice about what you are going to do. There is a breaking point. You cannot look at your spiritual champions and just assume that God set them aside from all of the trouble and all of the stuff that they had to go through so they could be an extra special blessing to the body of Christ. No, no. That champion that you look at and hold in high esteem is only a champion because they were able to run into those breaking points in their life and walk with God. Remember who he is. Pay the price and go on through it.
Amen. Yes. Yeah.
The breaking point for some of the Israelites in the wilderness was very early on in their journey. When Moses went up into the mountain with God, they couldn't see God anymore. They couldn't even see the representation of God anymore. And that was their breaking point. Whenever God seemed far away, I'm talking to somebody in this room. When God seemed like he was far away, I prayed and I prayed, but God didn't answer me. I prayed and I prayed, but I'm not reaching. I'm talking, reading somebody's mail in this room. I'm praying and God is not answering me. I cannot feel God. I cannot touch God. I cannot see God. And it was at that point that they decided not to wait on God anymore. They decided that they would go ahead and build a golden calf. It was on that day that 3,000 men and women died in the wilderness because they could not wait when God was seemingly far away. They could not go through and wait on the Lord. Like the Bible says, wait on the Lord and He will strengthen your heart. The breaking point for some was yet further into their wilderness journey when some of them began to be unable to trust that shepherd that God had placed over them, named Moses. I don't care if y'all even help me. I've already preached myself into a happy place. They began to speak against Moses. They began to speak against their leader. And God sent fiery serpents in among them. And the Bible simply says that on that day, that breaking point, much people died. They didn't make it through that breaking point. The breaking point for yet many others was further on in their journey when they began to have a strong craving for meat. They had already come out of Egypt. They had already faithfully made it past that time where God was far away. They had already made it past that time where they didn't speak against the shepherd. But then the manna of God was not enough for them anymore. They are eating the manna of God day after day and week after week. And they began to complain and say that we are not being fed enough by the very manna of God. And it was at that point that the Bible says that they began to look backward toward the flesh pots. The flesh pots of Egypt. They did not make it past the cravings of their own flesh. Are you going to be feeling like you are spinning your wheels in your walk with God today? Are you feeling bogged down and stuck, wondering if God has forgotten about you? Have you reached that breaking point in your walk with God? I came to tell you tonight, don't quit. Remember who God is. Remember what God has done. And you remember what God said He will do with you. What if I told you? What if I told you tonight that how you choose to handle the next few months of your life is not only going to determine the next few months of your life, but it will have an effect on years to come in your life. You must go through that wilderness point that wants to keep you stuck in one place.
Yes.
If you lived,
thank you, Jesus.
If you have lived very long at all, you know that there are moments that we come to in this life, in this walk with God, that are so troubling, that they are so hard to understand, that they make even the strongest men and women, those champions, those people that you feel like they could never, never possibly ever doubt, they could never feel weakness because of who you esteem them to be. But there are things that you face in life and face in your walk with God that are so troubling, they are so perplexing, that they make even the strongest men and the strongest women sometimes want to throw their hands up and quit and say, what can I possibly do in this situation? There are moments in your life that leave you scratching your head. God, I don't understand. We prayed, it didn't turn out the way that I prayed. They leave you even dealing with fear. There are moments in your life where you are left with questions that you have no answer to. And you would give anything if somebody would just come by and lay their hand on you and give you the answer. But it doesn't seem to happen. shaping you.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
That trial doesn't come walking up to you and say, you're going to be stronger on the other side of this if you'll just hold on. When God brings you out of this and into what He's promised, buddy, people better watch you.
Yeah.
Trials don't stand up and say, hey, don't worry, I'm going to be over soon.
That's right.
Trials in a wilderness place don't come shake hands with you. And on the other say, on the other side of this, you're going to be able to help people go through the same thing that you've gone through.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
No, trials don't do that.
No.
Trials try you. They test you. They challenge you. They cause you to see weaknesses in that vessel that you didn't even know were there. Sometimes they will even cause you to question God when you said you would never do that. There are things that can only be learned through the painful climbing through a place. Instead of being zapped to a place like we would prefer. I read something the other day and it was so profound to me. It said, if the mountain was smooth, you wouldn't be able to climb it.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. It's good.
We'd rather God zap us through the things. But even in the wilderness places, you must know that you know today that God is working. I know who God is. I know what God has done. And I know what He said that He will do. It doesn't surprise God what you find yourself going through today. Some of the things that you're going through, it's true. You put your own self into that mess, but it doesn't surprise God. And He wasn't caught off guard by where you are. He will strengthen you and solidify you so that you will have the internal fortitude for the future that He has planned for you. Wilderness places look desolate, but wilderness places help you to grow. And on the other side of this place that you're going through, God has a place that He will lead you into.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
How can I be so sure of that? Because Deuteronomy 6:23 says, He brought them out to bring them in.
Yeah.
He told the Israelites that the reason that they went through the wilderness was to humble them and to test them. Are you going through? Are you going through it? I can tell you how, I can't even begin to tell you how many times in my walk with the Lord that I've gone through it.
Yeah.
I can't tell you that in one instance in my life, God pulled me out. And I do literally mean pulled, pushed, shoved, pulled me, delivered me out of that place of inferiority and intimidation and the inability to minister the word of God. Screaming, crying, don't ask me to preach because I am not a preacher. And God brought me out of that place. And I had to go through the intimidation. And I had to go through the painful preaching, knowing that nobody was receiving anything from what I was saying. Knowing that people were not being fed because I was a brand new 22-year-old preacher who had never been through the stuff. But I alone, and He will not leave you alone is extremely poignant when we are facing intimidating circumstances. When we're afraid, just a whisper from God, just a whisper telling us, don't be afraid, is the lifeline that we need to hold on to. And when we start wandering around in our wilderness feeling lost, God's grace will call out to you like he is to somebody tonight and bring your perspective back in order. Bring your perspective back in line. When your faith starts to falter in the heat of all of those fiery storms that you've experienced, God's love will come and he will shield you from those flames by sending you a little preacher woman to tell you that you can go through it with God. You may even feel like you are struggling against the stream. You feel like you are swimming upstream. You're being swayed back and forth by the currents of life. God will still reach for that shaky hand, just like he did when Peter stepped out there to walk out there on the water with Jesus. But he went under. What did Jesus do? He reached down and grabbed that hand and pulled him up and said, why did you ever doubt me?
Glory.
I know who God is.
Yes.
You know who God is. You already know what God has done. You already know what he has promised that he will do. Don't you dare give up while you're going through it. If I want all the power that God has for me, if I want all of the power that I say that I want from God, if I want all of the depth, if I want all of the growth that I say with this mouth that I want, and all of the wisdom that comes with walking with and following Jesus, then I need to know that I have to want him more than I want the comfort from a wilderness place that I'm having to walk through. And when God allows me to walk through the deep waters of a trial, I do not want to be a woman found running for the shallow places in life, but instead one who has determined that my faith will stand no matter what.
Yes. Amen.
If I want to experience the rescuing power of God that meets me in the middle of a hurricane, in the middle of those cancer treatments, in the middle of that eating disorder, in the middle of a difficult conversation that I'm having with a hardened heart, if I want God to meet me there through the joblessness, through the broken relationships and the doubts that try to keep me stuck in one place, then my hands must constantly raise and surrender to the things that he allows. And my eyes must constantly search for his. Job described going through it like this. He said, behold, I go forward, but he isn't there. I go backward, I'm reaching, I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he does work, I cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand, and I cannot see. But this is what Job said. He said, he knows the way that I'm taking. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Have you ever been there when the wilderness felt long, hard, unyielding, and difficult? You searched for God. You had people pray with you. And it didn't matter how much you prayed. Nothing changed. Oh, but faith is that unseen bridge that you must cross to get from where you are to where you're going.
Amen. Yes.
God cannot partner with a doubting crowd.
Right.
He cannot join himself to a doubter. God will not join himself to you if you cannot trust him.
Yeah.
That's the reason why many of the Israelites were brought out of Egypt, but they did not get to go in to the promised land because they could not make it through the wilderness and trust God at the same time.
Amen. Yes.
Many were kept from going into God's promises. Why? Because of their unbelief. God cannot partner with a doubting crowd. He brought us out to bring us in, Pastor. Yes, he brought us out of stuff. He brought you out of stuff in this church to bring you into those things that have been prophesied, the words of the Lord that you're posting on the board and you're remembering and you read them again, and the prophecies that God has given to this house and this church. He brought you out to bring you in. That's how we know that we won't be stuck in a wilderness forever.
Yes, amen. Amen. Good.
Your enemy has not changed. We are still fighting many of the same battles that the Israelites fought so long ago. We still walk in an enemy territory. We are still threatened on every side by spiritual forces that seek to destroy us, to pull us from the truth, to confuse us with man-made worship practices, and to keep us from living a holy, righteous life that is drawing other people to the truth. There is still a fight to be fought without getting tired of wielding that sword. There are still wilderness places to walk through without you losing your determination to continue. There are still testimonies to share of how you know that God brought you through. I can stand in front of you tonight. I don't know where you place me on this, on a pedestal. I don't know how you esteem me, but I can stand before you tonight and say that I have dealt with such heartache. I have dealt with it so deep that I thought that it would stifle my voice in this world. But I can stand here tonight in front of you and say, by the grace of Almighty God, I made it through it. I have been broken and betrayed by people that I never expected to receive a shunning from in my life. And when it happened, I thought about quitting. Trudging through that wilderness experience was the hardest thing that I had ever done. But I can stand here tonight and preach the word of God to you, saying that I made it through it. I've been lied about, maligned by people who preach the same gospel that I do, until I was assaulted by a firestorm of arrows that said, you should quit, you should quit. If they heard that and it's a lie, but they believe it, then you should quit. And even though it was the hardest thing that I had ever gone through, I can stand here saying, by the grace of God, I made it through it.
Amen.
I stand here before you. I am not afraid to tell you. You can be a great anointed man or woman of God and still be totally honest and open before the people. Pastor, look at me. I have wanted to quit the ministry, but I can stand here before you and say that I remembered who God was, what God had done, what God promised He would do, and I made it through that wilderness place.
Yes, right.
I've cried, complained in the wilderness, even questioned, God, how can you possibly be working through what I am dealing with? But I made it through it because I knew deep down in my heart that His word is true. I knew deep down within myself that even though I have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because Thou art with me. I don't have to fear because He is my shepherd, and He is leading me and He is guiding me even if I can't see it.
Yeah.
Because I've got a promise that says greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world.
Yes.
You know what that says to me? Let me give you my interpretation of that. That means that no matter how bad it gets out there, no matter how bad it gets with what I'm going through, it will never be greater than what I've got on the inside of me. I know that the wilderness is hard, but I know that I'm going through it. I know that the wilderness feels. It feels like it is unyielding in its pressure, in its discouragement. But I know that I'm going through it. I've got a reason to be determined, because determination brings about deliverance. Trouble on every side, but not distressed. That takes determination.
Yes.
Perplexed, but not in despair. That takes Holy Ghost determination.
Yes, it does.
Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. The only way that that can happen is if you are living by the power of that oil in your life. And that Holy Ghost determination is saying, look, I'm perplexed, but I'm not going to allow myself to be taken out by despair. I will go on through this. Hallelujah. Bad things happen and hard days come. And the world says that my treasure is not real. And yet the treasure is still there on the inside. Are you going to stay stuck? Are you going to stay stuck where you are?
Listen.
Or are you going to be determined and realize who it is that you can have or that you do have living on the inside of you? I know it feels like there's nothing good that can come out of feeling stuck in a wilderness. But if you look at the Israelites, you'll see something different. I'm coming to a close. You'll see that the 40 years of wandering around, the 40 years of in a wilderness, the nation of Israel now stood on the bank of the Jordan River that I preached to you Monday night. They're ready to go in to fight. They think they're going to fight. They did end up fighting the enemies in the promised land to inherit. They're waiting to go in. Finally. And although they were not perfect by any means, the Israelites had learned so much from the mistakes of those who did not make it through it. And the people who stood there on the bank of that Jordan were no longer a tattered nation of slaves that were afraid whenever Pharaoh was chasing them at the Red Sea. There were no longer those tattered, fearful former slaves. They were not fearful of the Canaanites. They were not unprepared for the battle with their enemy. No, no. The people who had come through those 40 years in the wilderness, they were desert hardened. They were tested by the elements.
Yeah.
They were well-trained warriors who had already fought and won battles against some of the most fearsome warriors on the earth. And they had won on the east side of the Jordan River. And instead, now after 40 years of going through what God had proven them in, instead of being Hebrews terrified of their enemies like they were 40 years ago, now their enemies were terrified of them. You remember that the Bible says Jericho shut its gates up totally because they had heard about what the God of Israel had done for his people. And God's people began to remember who God was and what God had brought them out of and what God was about to take them into. And the Bible says that God brought them in to his promises. I'm here to tell you tonight, we don't just need another church service to pull us back up again with a feeling of excitement. You need to grab a hold of what you felt, what you've seen, what you know, and say with the grace of God Almighty, I am determined and I'm going to change some of the way that I've been thinking about some things. I don't know about you. I don't know what you'll do with it. I don't know how you'll take this word and go through whatever it is that you're dealing with. But I know one thing for me. I am going through. Would you stand with me tonight? There are very real lines that are drawn in the sands of humanity. And on one side of that line, there are people that are labeled apathetic and defeated. But on the other side of that line, there are people that are going to be labeled anointed and You don't have a lot of time to make your decision. You may say to me tonight, little preacher woman, you have no idea what I am dealing with in my life. You're absolutely right. I don't, but I know one who does.
Yes.
And I also know that no matter what, it doesn't matter if this feels hard to you or if it doesn't. This is the truth. You will either be defeated or you will be determined. End of story.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what you had to go through. You don't know what I've had to go through. But the truth of it is, you'll either be defeated or you'll be determined.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
And I know by the Holy Ghost that there's some people in this room that would say with honesty, remember we addressed that image last night.
Yes.
That image that you portray that isn't really who you are.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I can hear somebody, I heard it this afternoon as I was waiting on God, this message. I heard somebody saying, sister, I am so tired of feeling stuck. I'm tired of feeling stuck in this place in my life. I can't go past. I'm going around and around and I'm wandering around. I'm not going through. I'm just wandering around and I feel stuck. I feel like my walk with God is stuck in one place. Somebody in this room feels like you're stuck at the point where you cannot get filled with the Holy Ghost. And I've come to tell you tonight that you can go through to the Holy Ghost tonight.
Amen. Amen.
We used to call it praying through.
Praying through. Yeah.
Praying through to the Holy Ghost.